Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Vasquez, beaten away by Buffon. And then Ronaldo!
To the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, a quick word from my friends down at Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, get into Advantage BMW Midtown. These guys love soccer down there. Our good friend Justin is down there. They love the game of soccer. Philip, they love it down there. So get down to Advantage BMW Midtown. They'll get you into the type of vehicle you want. The other thing I love about Advantage BMW Midtown, well, is obviously their customer service. I mean, they'll take you through the process from sales right through customer service. It's Advantage BMW Midtown, and again, a big thank you to them for helping put your sport on the air. Another great opportunity to catch up with what is one of the unique situations in Major League Soccer. It's Austin FC, and building this team from scratch is Austin FC president Andy Lochnane, and he joins us again now. Andy, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me again. Pleasure.
Well, since our last discussion, let's kind of get a little bit of an update. A number of really positive things happening, including getting your healthcare category filled.
That is an important part of building a team, is having the strong corporate support. I know that franchise in Houston recently brought on Andy Anderson, which is an enormous relationship, especially on the Jersey side. And significantly, we announced that St. David's Healthcare System becomes the first founding partner of Austin FC. And the relationship is a multi-year partnership that crosses over a couple of different key platforms. But one of the key platforms is that they'll have entitlement, naming rights, to our training facility. So our training facility, which we haven't exactly announced the location yet, we're working on finalizing that, but it will be the St. David's Performance Center, and it will be a world-class facility where our players will go to work, they will train, they will prepare for all their matches, and they will have expert care provided by St. David's. So very important relationship for us to establish, and quite frankly, the partnership and all of the terms behind it, it represents everything that we believe in this market. It reinforces our strength and belief that Austin will be an outstanding Major League city.
And through this, other things percolate and come down throughout this, because I read something about futsal courts, yoga sessions on the field, programs that you're going to partner with, like Austin ISD schools. So there's a whole bunch of other things I would assume you guys are working on, collaborating on.
Yes, yeah, so any relationship with a healthcare company typically comes with a lot of health and wellness platforms. And for us, you know, you mentioned futsal. So one of the things that we want to do inside of Austin is build futsal courts. We want to put as many as we possibly can in the right locations. And there's so many neighborhoods that are looking to add programming. And in particular, in Austin, there's neighborhoods that could use those right away. And so the game plan with St. David's is to build out a futsal court in a to-be-determined neighborhood where we'll provide kids the opportunity to, let's say, convert a blighted tennis court that just hasn't been used in the last couple of years or the last couple of decades, and convert it into a safe play space where kids after school weekends can play freestyle and also hopefully add some strong programming. So for us, that's a big initiative. In fact, we've committed to build one futsal court as a club annually. And a big objective for us is to, you know, find any way, quite frankly, to increase the participation. So whether that's a futsal court or a grass field, redeveloping an existing grass field, those are going to be initiatives we're going to take on with partners. And in this case, you know, futsal with St. David's. But you mentioned yoga. Yeah, I mean, we're going to yoga, very popular just about everywhere, but certainly in Austin, we'll create special classes for supporters to have the opportunity to come and have a yoga session on the field. Pretty cool opportunity. And I think any relationship like this goes past just what's happening with the health and wellness of the players. Clearly, that's an important investment. We need them to be cared for with expert physicians. But it's also important for us to extend the relationship into the community. So you named two examples there where St. David's will help us build our relationship with Austin.
He's Andy Lochnane. He is the Austin FC president. Things are up and running in Austin, less than 2 years away. They will be involved in Major League Soccer. In the time I've spoken to you and now being in Austin for some months now, what have you learned? What else have you learned about the market, maybe, that maybe we didn't know 4 or 5 weeks ago?
I've learned that it's really hard for us to, as a front office, to not have games. You know, we knew exactly what we were signing up for, which is a couple years' worth of infrastructure building. But it's amazing how many of us clamoring to find a way to watch games. So I think we've learned that there's a lot of competitive juices inside of us. But, you know, for us, we are committed to trying to establish ourselves as a strong community partner. And I think hopefully we've been able to, across the last couple of months, highlight in some instances rather large. So, for example, we committed $500,000 to an affordable housing platform, to something perhaps a little smaller in dollar value, but very important. You know, we provided a check to a local university and their soccer program. And I think, you know, hopefully we've demonstrated that we are interested in being strong community supporters long before that first game is ever played.
Andy Lochnane joining us, the Austin FC president. Exciting times in Austin right now. Do you, Andy, feel any pressure? I mean, look, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. There are no do-overs. You've got this clean slate to grow and build a Major League Soccer franchise. You know, you're in rarefied air, personally, in being the guy spearheading this. It's pretty remarkable, really, when you think about it, and might be a little bit daunting, right?
I don't think it's definitely daunting. You're kind to say it's rarefied air. Many have done it before. I think one of the things that I take comfort in is that we have surrounded ourselves with outstanding staff. I suppose on a personal level, I've been lucky enough to have gone through this before with an NHL team. But I couldn't say this enough. The support in Austin, in particular, from the supporter group that formed before we were even an MLS team, Austin Anthem, makes the process of growing much easier. Now, you're right, it is difficult, and it's not for everybody, nor for the faint of heart. But the level of enthusiasm and organization and commitment to growing the team alongside the front office, alongside Anthony, from Austin Anthem has been nothing short of remarkable. And in fact, just recently participated in a platform where they provided input on stadium integration, stadium design, stadium amenities, you know, things that are important to the game day experience. And I'd say, yes, it's not easy to build a team. It's something, though, that we've assembled a great staff, and we're privileged enough to be working alongside a supporter group that's up to the task.
Well, credit to you guys. You're listening to those in the community. I mean, that is a big, 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 big piece. And I do see how active the Austin Anthem guys are. It is pretty remarkable. Political roadblocks. It's an obvious thing that happens. I saw it and witnessed it firsthand here in Houston, Texas. That's just a part of the process, isn't it?
Well, I don't, you know, there's certainly... wouldn't ever define anything as a political roadblock. For us, the process of creating a Major League Soccer team in Austin was worth whatever amount of energy and focus and, on occasion, hard work and all of that has happened in the past was worth it. And I actually think we've got a significant amount of political support and political tailwinds at this point in time. And there are certainly, as part of any business, or for that matter, any individual, there are elements where you will need to continue to have strong political support. And so for us, we're going through a zoning process right now, and we have experts that work our way through that process, and it's incredibly important as we begin to advance towards groundbreaking. Incidentally, we're targeting, we've talked about this publicly, we want to break ground in September of 2019, and so the zoning process is incredibly important. But I think that the vote in August of 2018 and Major League Soccer's official announcement in January 15th and hopefully some of the other important steps forward that we've made across the last couple months demonstrate that this project is very well received in Austin. And oftentimes that makes things much easier when it does come time for important things like zoning.
So that's part one with Andy Lochnane of Austin FC. It's really, really interesting to see how they're launching this team, starting this from scratch in Austin, Texas, will become a great rival of the Houston Dynamo. Hey, not only is Tri-Eagle Energy bringing the energy on Houston Dynamo game days, they are giving Houstonians the power to win. Win free electricity for an entire year. Want to learn more? All you got to do is text POWER to 77177. Sign up for any Power to Win electricity plan and receive 2 Dynamo game tickets, 2 t-shirts, and you'll be automatically enrolled to enter for free electricity for a year. How about that? Each time the Dynamo win a home game. And by the way, the Dynamo winning at home a lot. But each time they do, Tri-Eagle Energy will draw a lucky fan or customer to win a free year of electricity. Dynamo are on a winning streak. They've been winning a lot at home this year. And again, you can also enter to win by texting POWER to 77177. Visit TriEagleEnergy.com to learn more. PUCT hashtag 10064. Also, Cube 57 is your home for the Houston Dynamo. So join Eddie Robinson, myself, Cindy Bourbano. We are proud to be calling all the Houston Dynamo matches on Cube 57. By the way, we'll have a bit of a break here. The International Break Gold Cup coming up and the FIFA Women's World Cup. Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, Markey Entertainment Center, 18 TVs, big screen. That is the home of Houston Liverpool Football Club's supporters group. That place was absolutely packed. And again, another big part of the story here in Houston was how many bars were packed, turning away people for the UEFA Champions League. Stay with us. Part two, Andy Lochnane, coming up of Austin FC.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Soto making his move. And here goes Soto. Soto for the USA. And he was never going to miss. He was never going to miss. Sebastian Soto gives the USA the lead against France.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Remember, you get the podcast of this show at podcastarena.com. You can also get it on iTunes. Now, July 20th, we got an amazing event. Real Madrid will be in town. And by the way, they're going to have their new signing. Luka Jovic, 65 million euros, has just signed for Zinedine Zidane and Real Madrid. They will be in town to take on the legendary Bayern Munich. July 20th, you get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. I'm going to say it again. Bayern Munich against Real Madrid. It's part of the ICC, the International Champions Cup. Stars will abound here in Houston. This will be an unbelievable international soccer environment. July 20th, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. And don't forget, go down in Edo to our good friends at Kings Court. 903 Hutchins, shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. They got 13 monitors in there. They had the Bayou City Blues in there celebrating their Europa League title. They got a great deck there and wonderful British and Indian pub-style cuisine. KingsCourtHoustonTX.com. Time now for part two with Austin FC president Andy Lochnane. Andy Lochnane, he's of Austin FC president and a whole bunch of different things going on for you. How many more employees have you hired since I've been there? How many do you have working with you now, Andy?
I think we've brought on a couple of more employees on the ticketing side. We brought on a digital and social manager, senior manager, a woman who had previously been with FC Dallas, a UT grad, but we're starting to bring on multiple per week. And across the last 2 weeks, I think we brought on 5 staff members. And we're at close to 30 now, and we'll be closer to 120 by the time the project is, up and running right before our first match in spring of 2021. So a lot more growth this year. I'd say we'll bring on a couple dozen more in 2019, and positions that we can anticipate having announcements on in the near term include, a head of marketing. Eventually we'll bring on some graphic designers. We'll bring on a head of PR here shortly, a grassroots manager. So we're bringing on a lot of our marketing side next, and that's an important evolution in our club. But yeah, we're setting up laptops and phones on a fairly frequent basis, which I guess is the sign that we are in fact adding staff, and it's kind of fun.
Now, at what point do you begin to think technical director and then, collaborating with the technical director as to a manager?
So I suspect that in calendar year 2019, we will have one of those two positions hired. And, I say one of those two positions, I suppose you can't rule out where both those positions would be hired, but probably more than likely one of those two positions. I think the natural inclination is to think that it would be more that technical director, sporting director, general manager, whatever the title is you want to apply. On the other hand, if there's a coach that's available that we know would be good inside of, a system that Anthony Precourt has talked a lot about, which is, a attack possession-oriented club, I think there's, we should never rule out that a head coach might be hired in advance of a general manager. That said, it's all about who's available at the right time, and sometimes these available candidates aren't available till whether it's the middle of the summer, the end of the summer, sometimes even the closer to the end of the Major League Soccer season. So there may be some waiting in that regard, but I do suspect that we'll bring on at least one of those two key positions, head coach or sporting director, in 2019. And I think, fair to say, Glenn, that our philosophy is that we do believe that those are two positions. We did operate a team in Columbus. We had Greg Berhalter, the U.S. men's national team coach, that was occupying both those roles as one individual. And obviously Greg was spectacular at that and uniquely qualified to do it. And Greg's one of a kind in many respects. He's in, talk about rarefied air, Greg's in rarefied air in that respect. There's very few that are doing that inside of Major League Soccer. I suspect in our model, we definitely have those as two distinct roles.
Now, any preference? American, foreign? Is it open to anybody?
Open to anybody. And I guess we can't give away all of our special ingredients in terms of what we're looking for in candidates. But right. At this point in time, I can tell you that there is a significant amount of interest amongst agents for positioning candidates for potential interviews when that time comes. But I'm pleasantly pleased with all things that need to line up in order for us to be in position to bring on the right people. And I do think that there's a really good chance that we bring on one of the two positions in calendar year 2019.
That's exciting. AustinFC.com. I just popped over to the website. What an incredible montage you have here. The city going over Lady Bird Lake into parks with people playing soccer. And then it says, be a part of history. Deposits for Austin FC season tickets and memberships available starting June 12th. So I guess this is a good place for me to lead you into that, Andy.
Yeah, so on Wednesday, June 12th, we will officially begin the process of collecting deposits for season ticket memberships. And in simple terms, it's the first phase of a two-phase process. The first phase is if you're interested in season tickets, or as we call them, memberships, you need to place a fully refundable deposit. It's either a $50 deposit or a $100 deposit. $50 for a general admission seat, which is a lower level or upper level seat. The $100 deposits are for what we classify as premium seats. Those are things like club seats and loges, field seats, etc. But you go to austinfc.com, or you give one of our representatives a phone call, or you shoot us an email, and starting on Wednesday, June 12th at 10 a.m., you'll be able to put your deposit down. And the sooner you put your deposit down, the sooner you'll be able to select your seats, which is phase two. So phase two being the select seat program. That happens either late this winter or into spring, early summer of 2020. And the only way that you can select a seat is if you've made that deposit. And there is a sense of urgency because your priority number is established by the time that you place that deposit. And based off of early read, I think demand will be high. So there's a sense of urgency for those in Austin that are interested in Austin FC season tickets to be at the ready on Wednesday, June 12th at 10 a.m.
No question. Andy Lochnane joining us. He's the president of Austin FC, austinfc.com. And again, deposits for Austin FC season tickets. June 12th. It's amazing. It's exciting. I think it's going to be a wonderful addition to all the other MLS teams. Last one before I let you go, Andy. And of course, everybody, when they talk about Austin, it's the millennials and it's youth. And you definitely need the energy and the excitement and the passion and all of the creativity of youth following MLS teams. But what about some of the other markets that you identified? What are those? You know, could that be an older, hardcore, European group of fans? I know there's a lot of crossover with Austin Anthem and those fans and young people. What are some of the other groups that you have identified that certainly will be important to target in their own way?
Yeah, so there is a significant, let's call it, depth of interested segments inside of Austin. I do prefer to view it through a slightly different lens, more psychographic versus demographic. But I think ultimately the, you did identify some core groups, right? There are those that are, that are tech savvy, those that are millennial, those that are multicultural. Those are important elements that have successful track record in terms of, attending MLS matches in like markets. The family segment is extremely valuable to Major League Soccer. The adult soccer playing market, which is pretty significant inside of Austin, the significant league, so AMSL, Austin Men's Soccer League, is has a high level of participation. So we know that adult soccer is something that's pretty important for us. And I think this is a strong corporate market. So the business community inside of Austin is a segment that we'll be certainly carefully tracking. And I think one segment that we need to hopefully grow, and Austin Anthem's done a phenomenal job with this, is what we would classify as the underrepresented class. So all things female, and quite frankly, here we are in Pride Month. I think that's a big piece of our opportunity as well here in Austin. So, Anthem, again, I can't give them enough credit for helping establish a significant amount of audience and following inside of some of those underrepresented classes. So hopefully that's a long list, but quite frankly, the answer is we want to be Austin's team, and that means we represent more than just millennials, tech-savvy, multicultural, to your point. So we got to earn it, and it's up to us to hopefully do the right thing to earn the respect of the community.
Absolutely love the attitude. Congratulations, Andy. Keep up the great work. I know it's a big day on Wednesday when season tickets roll out, and this has been really informative and very interesting to listen to you kind of piecing this all together. starting pretty much from scratch in Austin. So thank you very much, as always, for coming on the show, and thank you for being so candid.
I appreciate it, Glenn.
All right, that's Andy Lochnane. He is the Austin FC president. AustinFC.com is where you can get information. Another one of the new teams coming into Major League Soccer, all these different markets. It really is exciting and interesting. It's going to make for great road trips for FC Dallas fans, for Dynamo fans. State of Texas, we're represented in MLS, no question about that. We'll take a break now. That interview with Andy Lochnane of Austin FC is brought to you by Advantage BMW Midtown. Go down there. See my good friends Philip and Justin. Get yourself in the vehicle of choice down there. Advantage BMW Midtown, and they are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We'll take a break.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Who's been too quiet so far in the second half, but he's threaded a great ball through, and it's 2-2, and Soto has done it yet again. Weah came to life, and Soto did the rest.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We're going to wrap it up in big style here tonight with a great guest, but before we get to our next guest here, I just want to remind you about Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, I've driven one for years. At least I've owned it. Absolutely love the drive of a BMW. What I also love is Advantage BMW Midtown. They'll cover you with sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. Customer service, perfect. Get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown, AdvantageBMWHouston.com, and get down there to Philip and Justin, because these are guys that love the sport of soccer. They're supporting it. They're helping put it on the radio. Joining me now, former U.S. Women's National Team World Cup 2003 and 2007. Gold medalist in both the 2004-2008 Olympics. She is Angela Huclis, and I'm very fortunate she's going to be my partner on Fox during this upcoming World Cup. Angela, thank you very much for coming on the show. You're going to see more than you'll want of me probably in the next 13 days, but we will make it as painless as possible.
Glenn, thanks so much for having me. I can't wait to see you and get this World Cup started.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm absolutely ready to go. It's all going to kick off June 7th, France and the Korea Republic. You know, I'm listening to everybody weighing in on this World Cup and seeing all the things that are going on. It really is remarkable, but this is really going to be a watershed Women's World Cup, isn't it, France 2019?
I definitely think so. I mean, I think what everyone is saying is this is the World Cup that will be probably the most competitive Women's World Cup ever in the history. And there are so many different talented teams that I really think so many of the teams themselves feel like this World Cup is up for grabs, which, of course, when you look at the teams that are in this tournament, you see the favored teams, you know, clearly the United States being the number one team in the world right now in the FIFA rankings. They've always had a target on their back, but so many more teams are confident in themselves and their abilities to perhaps take this World Cup home.
Yeah, there's so many that in the last, you know, since this last cycle and this last World Cup, that just seem to have really accelerated their development for a lot of reasons. Are there any particular countries that stand out to you? I mean, because there's so many that really have grown, Spain, Netherlands, France. I mean, yeah. Who do you like that's really made the big jump?
Yeah, I think we're fortunate. We have teams that we're going to be covering in pretty much almost all of the different groups. So we're going to be able to see a lot of the variety. And actually, you mentioned one of them already. The Netherlands is a team that I think is exciting to watch. When you look at the mix of youth and experience that they have with the striker or goal scorer, Medema, on their team, they have so much variety. They're scoring off of set pieces. They're scoring from run of play. So they're just a fun team and exciting team to watch that, you know, maybe the last 4 years, they wouldn't have been someone that we would have mentioned. I think another team that is going to be interesting is going to be Australia. They have players that were playing since the last 10 years, some players that were playing that I played against, so they've been around for a long time, but also some youth. I believe they have one of the youngest players to compete in this World Cup, 16-year-old. And again, when you look at the style of play with so many of the different teams and how they match up in conjunction with the excitement and the attack and the variety that so many of these different teams can really play and perform, I think that's what's going to make this World Cup exciting and also fun to watch. And then you have your teams like Brazil and Germany, France being the host country. I think they have a lot of extra, I wouldn't even say pressure, but just I think more of an excitement and focus perhaps by being the host country with so many eyes on them as well. So, I mean, the list goes on. I think also Jamaica is another team too to watch out for. They could be a surprise team where they might not be one of the strongest teams in this tournament. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I think anything can really happen. And so it's going to be fun to watch and see how it all plays out.
Yeah, their storybook story. Hugh Menzies is a guy that I know, and this is a remarkable story with participation from the Marley family. Jamaica's in Group C with Australia, Italy, Brazil, and Jamaica. You and I start with Australia and Italy, and you having played in World Cups and Olympics, how important is it really to get off in group play to a good start and have a really confident first game?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where you start to build your confidence for all these teams. And, you know, first game, there are going to be a lot of nerves. You've been training and preparing for so long, and you've gone through the qualification process. You've gone through the process of actually making your final World Cup squad and roster, which we're kind of right now actually seeing some players on different teams and rosters dropping off due to injury. So, you know, there's a lot going on right now, even before you get to that first game. So once you're there, it's really letting everything else go. You're in the tournament, you're starting the tournament, and that's when you just play, because that's where all of your preparation has gotten you to that first start when that whistle blows. And then you just have to believe in your training, your preparation, and try to not be so reactive, actually, to the game. But I think what's really important for teams is to get out there and actually try to dictate the play themselves. So that's when it's going to be really interesting to see how the matchups really happen and occur, because the teams that go out there, get the early goals from the start, they're the ones dictating the play versus having to react and, you know, basically be in a comeback situation. So, again, it's all part of the game, but it's really setting aside all the nerves and going out there and having the faith and confidence in what you've been preparing over the last 4 years.
Angela Hughley's joining us here and wrapping up tonight's Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Two-time gold medal winner, 2004-2008 Olympics, played in two World Cups, a woman who knows this game inside and out. I'm going to take you right to Group F. The U.S. is with Thailand, Chile, Sweden. I find this interesting that they're playing Thailand and Chile before they get to their bigger competition, which will be a step up in Sweden. Do you like the way Group F and their schedule plays out? Is there anything that's potentially deceptive about that? Or, you know, is it good to ease into this tournament with maybe competition? And I don't want to be disrespectful here at all, but Thailand and Chile, you know, won't be in the upper echelon of competition in this World Cup.
You know, I actually really do, obviously being a former U.S. national team player, being a U.S. citizen and having my own biases, I think this is a great group for the U.S. to start off with in the tournament. I think there could be some argument that you want to have not necessarily light competition so that when you do face a more challenging opponent, you're not shell-shocked, so to speak. But I don't think it really matters, to be honest, with this U.S. squad. They are a team that historically is always mentally prepared. They are having a lot of outside potential distractions with the lawsuits against the U.S. Soccer Federation. I truly believe that these are the things that actually strengthen the mentality of this U.S. team. When they are holding themselves responsible and accountable for so many different things, I actually feel like it favors the U.S. in terms of how they play on the field, the weight and the responsibility that they carry is something that they shoulder extremely well. And they know that everyone is always out to get them. And I don't think they take any team for granted or take any team lightly. So I think their mental preparation will be good and potentially less physical strain. You never know how, you know, a team like Thailand or Chile will come out and play them, but clearly not the strongest teams in this tournament. So I do really like the way that this group is set up for the U.S. And, you know, essentially they're in a great position to go out first in the group, beating all three teams potentially. But if not, even second in the group. And that could be interesting to see how that will play out with them getting out of group play. So I really do like the way that things are looking for the U.S. in this first round.
She's Angela Hughley. If you can catch her on the Fox Women's World Cup, will kick off on the 7th. France will open the tournament up as the host country. This is going to be a wonderful summer of watching World Cup play. And, of course, the United States women are looking to do it back-to-back in this. Look, a lot of people have pointed to some concerns about the U.S. when they lose the ball in transition. And we saw Australia and Sam Kerr hit them for 3 goals. The U.S. won that game 5-3. We clearly understand the strength that they have with, you know, their front line of Morgan, Rapinoe, Tobin Heath, by the way, and coming off the bench, Kristen Press, Carly right. Lloyd, Mallory Pugh. I mean, it's a ridiculous wealth of riches from an attacking perspective. But are you in that camp, Angela, where people are a little concerned about the transition game and what they do when the ball's lost and the fact that they've conceded a few goals, which is unlike a U.S. team because, look, defending carried them through that last World Cup?
Yeah, I'm actually not in that camp. I do believe that they're heavily weighted in strength with their attacking players. And I think it's more of they have a lot of great attacking players and strengths on this team more so than defensive players. But I don't think that means that the defense is bad. I think the defense is extremely talented as well. And I think this is how the game works. They're going to face opponents, especially teams that are that have caught up and are just as competitive as the United States team. But I think that's the difference. Everyone's saying the U.S. potentially doesn't have the strongest team that they fielded in a World Cup before. And I don't buy into that either. I just think that the competition has improved and not that the U.S. team has lost any types of steps. So I think lean into that strength that they do have offensively, and that will help them create a better defensive outcome.
Yeah, that's a great point, because countries like the Frances and the Netherlands, the Spains, Australia, Sam Kerr, Kim Little in Scotland, yeah. every team has dynamic strikers pretty much.
Right.
Certainly with the ones that are going to be considered ones that potentially could do some damage. I mean, Canada, Christine Sinclair. I mean, these are goal scorers extraordinaire. So it's exciting. How about breakout star for the U.S.? Who might that be for you?
Ooh. You know, actually, I'm going to say Alyssa Nair back in goal mm-hmm. because, you know, she is going into this World Cup one of the first times without, you know, Hope Solo, and people have been talking about that, and she's got a quiet personality, and so I think that's a difference. But I think she can come up really big in this tournament, and she's not necessarily a new player, so it's not necessarily, like, I guess the best definition for a breakout star, but I think this could be a breakout tournament for her in the sense of putting herself on the map and solidifying that position for her back in goal. So I think that's someone that people don't really put a lot of attention to, but when we talk about how strong the attack looks like for the United States and the attacking players are, I mean, the defense has great players as well that are veteran players and quality. But I think Alyssa Nair, it's a good opportunity for her to really stand out and shine and come up with some really big and crucial saves in this tournament.
Yeah, that's a great choice on your part, because that's a woman who has really done her time. And now it's her moment, you know, and there is something to the longevity of her, you know, being a backup and being considered the number two now, given the keys to the car and now being the goalkeeper for the U.S. and undoubtedly is going to have to come up with timely saves in this tournament. No question. At all. I want to go to a couple of players that I just absolutely love that I think are essential to the U.S., and it's basically right up the spine of the team. So Julie Ertz in the last World Cup is top 11 as a center back. I would have made an argument for Becky Sauerbrunn just as well. Ertz now is a holding midfielder and, you know, breaks a lot of things up, provides the balance, cleans up for others, cuts out passing lanes, and then you've got Becky Sauerbrunn, who I just think has just had this amazing career, who seems to just quietly go about her business doing her thing. How about those two players for you?
I love them. And again, I think what happens a lot is, you know, maybe it's just our culture and our mentality with defenders and attacking, but I think the defense doesn't get enough credit. What I love about Becky Sauerbrunn is her consistency. As I said, she kind of quietly goes along and she does things that don't necessarily get a lot of notice, but are crucial to keeping the success of that team going. And same thing with Julie Ertz. I mean, I think she's definitely someone that you feel her presence, either as a fan, you can feel it and see it, or when you're playing against her. But I actually do like her pushed up a little bit higher because she is dangerous in the attack. You know, when she's able to get up into that final 18-yard box and also being able to put her head on the ball for set pieces, she can be a force on the offensive side as well. But the ability that she has to cover ground and just break up plays, and that in turn actually starts to set and create play on the offensive side for the U.S., I think that's where she really shines.
Boy, and she's dangerous on set pieces too, because she just throws herself at anything that comes into the box.
Don't want to get in front of her.
No, she's a wrecking ball in midfield. Truly breaks up a ton of plays. Before I let you go, you know, around the world, we've seen some remarkable attendances in Italy with Juventus and crowds of over 30,000. In Mexico, we've seen in the city of Monterrey, Tigres and Rayados putting in 35, 40,000 people. Barcelona has drawn huge crowds. I mean, you know, big brands now investing in the women's game. Is this potentially going to be a challenge to the NWSL? Because with big attendances comes maybe higher salaries and people saying, hey, maybe we'll play some time over in Europe, which we have seen a lot of the U.S. players do.
Yeah, you know, I think this game is evolving and shifting, and I think that is actually a very positive thing because it's going to create more opportunities for female soccer players, both here in the United States and internationally. And I think it will affect the NWSL, but I also think it'll create more opportunities for more players to play in the NWSL as well. So I really think that all of this might be an adjustment, but I think it's all for the greater good of the game and the sport. And I also know we're going to be seeing some more potential revenue opportunities and sponsorship opportunities for players here in the States. So I think this is all a great shift. And you can see the quality is improving. And that really started also because other countries started putting more funding into their women's programs. So it's all backed by the support of different federations and also the fans getting out there and enjoying the sport and seeing what's happening. And I think why people are getting excited is because they are feeling that momentum and that shift. And it's really, I mean, you have to get on board because you're going to get left behind if not. And I mean, these players are getting better, but I think we're going to see just the really growth of the game and having more quality players. Whereas in the past, you know, we didn't necessarily have a large pool to select from, but that pool is definitely deepening right now.
It all begins in less than 3 days. France will kick it off against the Korea Republic, June 7th to July 7th. It's the FIFA Women's World Cup France 2019. You can listen to Angela Huclis on Fox. Angela, thank you so much. I'll see you in 2 days, and we'll go back to studying.
Awesome. Thanks, Len. See you soon. Safe travels.
Yes, thank you. That's Angela Huclis. It's going to be awesome working with her on this Women's World Cup, and of course, two times in a World Cup for her and two times a gold medalist in 2004 and 2008. So going to be a lot of fun. Before we head out here tonight, just a reminder here, our presenting sponsor is John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, personal injury attorneys. They bring you a personalized approach, DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. They'll work for you 24/7. They'll have you covered. Nobody wants to get in an accident, but if you do, you certainly want coverage, and you want somebody that you know, can guide you through the process and be an advocate for you. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, they will do that. He is a big soccer fan as well. Kings Court down in Edo, 903 Hutchins. Shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. Great rooftop deck. Great view of the stadium. KingsCourtHoustonTX.com. Go in and say hello to Jay. And as I say goodbye here tonight, just a reminder, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters. A lot of topics over there, people weighing in. And don't forget to get the podcast at podcastarena.com. So for Andrew Carlson, Victor Ariza, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.